You're listening to a digital recording from the LDS Homeschool Conference in Southern Utah.
Super excited that we have Molly Christensen here because I don't know her at all, and I'm so excited to learn something. Anyway, this topic sounds super interesting to me, but she is a wonderful lady from Orem, and she has 7 kids, ages 4 to 21. She has created a family curriculum that you can find at buildingheroesacademy.com. And she also trains and mentors moms. And that's, you can find information about that at mentoryourkids.com. So her favorite things to do are to read and to do outdoor stuff. She really likes hiking down here in St. George. You just moved down here. It's pretty awesome. And something interesting about her is that she's never eaten a Twinkie. Have y'all ever eaten a Twinkie? I don't think I've had one either. You might be the only one in this room that's ever had one. Yeah. Okay. Oh, fried Twinkies. Okay, Amy's had fried Twinkies. Okay, so anyway, let's give a big round of applause with everything you have for Molly Christensen.
Well, thank you. In most circles, the Twinkie thing is kind of unique, but I don't know about in homeschool circles, right? Right, so I'm so glad you guys are here because it's so much better than just talking to myself. Sometimes I do that too. So I want to know, like, how many years you guys have homeschooled so I kind of know what we're looking at here. So not started yet. Has anybody not started homeschooling? And I guess it's not just for homeschoolers, or maybe it is. Okay. But it pretty much is. Okay, so how about like 1 to 4 years homeschooling? Okay, so half of you, more than half of you. And then how about 5 years or more? Okay. Well, wait, you raised your hand and both. So you're kind of right in there. Okay. Okay, so most of you are kind of, well, this, you know, we got half and half here. Okay, awesome. So my name is Molly Christensen, and this class is called, I have to read it because I keep forgetting what it's called too. So it's Raising a Family of Heroes. And I really am grateful to be down here in sunny Dixieland. It's so beautiful down here. And this is really an awesome facility as well. So I just want to express thanks for that. And you know what? Also for Tress and Tom. For Neil, for putting this on, because I know they've been having some challenges, but they're down here doing it anyway, which is awesome. So, it's interesting because when I sat down to write this talk, I already had given this talk before a few times, and I thought I knew what I was going to talk about here. And but then as I was thinking about writing it down, all these other thoughts came to me, and I was like, well, okay, I'm going to have to rewrite it now. So then I sat down to rewrite it, and it came out to be a completely different thing. So I was like, wow, this is pretty cool. Now I've got 3 talks. But hey, so and then now what I'm thinking, it's going to be even more interesting to see what comes out compared to what I wrote. So I guess we'll see. So hopefully this will be fun and enlightening to you guys and worth your time. So if it's okay, I'd like to just tell you a little bit more about myself. I grew up in a small town of Heber in Utah, and from there I went off to BYU and I got a degree in mechanical engineering, which is completely different than where I am today. So that's kind of an interesting thing about me. And when my oldest son was about 4, I started getting this feeling inside that I was supposed to homeschool him, and I said, that's a stupid idea. And my mom had actually homeschooled my younger brother and sister when I was in high school, so kind of a homeschool pioneer. And as a teenager, I thought that was like torture or something. I don't know, like horrible. And so when I started getting those thoughts, I thought, no way. Homeschoolers are weird and all that, you know. Probably thought some of these things too. And then I kept feeling this thing, and then it started shifting towards me. No way, I am not organized enough. I can't do that. I wouldn't know how to do that. No way. So I sent him to kindergarten. you know, perfectly reasonable thing, where I discovered that really this was not rocket science to teach kids. Although if it had been rocket science, it probably would have been more comfortable for me, you know, because I'm kind of engineering minded. And but when I sat him there, I realized that he needed to be homeschooled for certain reasons, such as that he did not really fit this mold. He was very, very bright, but he didn't really want to sit down and do the things that they wanted him to do. And so when he was in first grade, I decided that I was going to, well, no, wait, the summer before first grade, I was going to practice. And so I practiced, and I didn't do a very good job, but then I decided to do it anyway. So for first grade, I started homeschooling him, and it was not awesome. It was pretty horrible, actually. And so that's when I turned to Heavenly Father. I mean, I was praying all along, but I finally just got to the point where I was just like, Heavenly Father, look, you told me I needed to do this. Something's got to change, because this is horrible. And so, you know, we're crying at the end of every day, and my husband's like, well, just send him back to school. It'd be easier. And I'm like, no, I am stubborn. I'm going to make this work. And so I, you know, I'm sitting there with him trying to do all 8 subjects every day. Well, there's probably more than that, but I don't know. We were just doing a lot of them anyway. And so finally I got this answer that what I needed to do was to switch things up. I needed to just read aloud a good book to him in the morning first thing. And what I'd been doing was we had to get through writing, and then we had to do math, and then we had to do geography, and then we had to do Latin, or I don't know, I was really intense. and then at the end of the day, when he had all his work done, I would read aloud to him, because that was his favorite part. And that did not work, because we never got to that part, hardly ever, because we were struggling so much. So when I flipped it, and I started with the book, it changed things. It changed everything, because now I had heard the answer came in the form of a speaker telling me we needed to read good books. And so that's what I did. I read the books, good books first. And after a while, I realized I did not need to cover 8 subjects a day, because he was learning so much just from me reading books. Okay. So that's kind of where I came from. And the beautiful thing is we kept on reading and reading, and we love to read in our house. And that is actually one of my goals for my kids, is to have them love reading. If they don't love reading, then you might get kicked out of the family or something. Well, you know. and we kept having kids, and we still kept reading, and now we have these 7 amazing kids, and they all think they love to read, even though some of them can't read yet. Even my 7-year-old, who struggled, he doesn't want to learn how to read, but he loves reading. So he's getting there. He will get there. And so, you know, really one of my main goals for homeschooling is not to have academic geniuses, but to have children who know who they are, to have great character, to know their purpose in life, and to move, to develop those skills so that they can serve others. And so sometimes when I tell people that, they all think, well, what about math? And I'm like, well, guess what? If you have that good, solid, solid character foundation, they will go on to learn all these other things that they need to learn. And when we switch that focus from getting through these workbooks to changing hearts, the results have been pretty good. And so I focus more on character in our homeschool than on the academics. And so I know some people freak out about that. But I can tell you my kids have turned out pretty good. My son is at BYU on a full academic scholarship, which is not easy, okay? So he's got some academic results. My daughter is not on an academic scholarship at BYU, but she made it in, which for her was huge. That was her goal. She wanted to get in. And so when the kids are empowered and they understand why they're here, all this knowledge starts to have purpose. And then they can go after those goals that they want. So I'm going to shift gears a little bit here. I'm going to go back to when I was a teenager. When I was a teenager, my mom was really into prepping, you know, for the second coming and food storage and all that. And actually, she still is. And so I loved to help her make the 72-hour kits and all this stuff. But one thing, though, that it did for me as a teenager, I was pretty sure that the second coming was right around the corner. I, you know, wars and rumors of wars going on, and there was that time when the moon, or no, it was the sun turned to blood because of the smoke from the fires, you know. And so I was like, oh my gosh, the second coming is coming. It's here. And plus, you know what, we had MTV. You know, how could the world be more wicked, right? I mean, gosh. And so I was just pretty convinced that the second coming was coming at any time. And so I went off to BYU, and I, you know, start taking these really hard classes. High school had been kind of easy, and I was feeling like I was having a hard time to stay motivated to do my classes, because what's the point if the second coming is coming, right? There won't even be a BYU. So I look back at that, and I'm like, oh, okay. Actually, I'm really glad I was wrong, first off, that the second coming didn't come right away, right? Because I was not prepared. And also, I was realizing that though that kind of thinking was all from a mindset of fear. I was, not that there's anything wrong with preparing for the second coming with food storage and stuff. Not saying that at all. But, you know, I had that scripture memorized. If you are prepared, you shall not fear. And I thought, oh yeah, we're prepared because we got our 72-hour kits. But I did have fear because I didn't understand about having faith and hope and all that. You know, I wasn't spiritually prepared. So I was pretty much wrapped up in myself, and that kind of happens with teenagers and young adults sometimes. But luckily, we've learned a few things. So let's fast forward to today, okay? So now our world has definitely gotten increasingly wicked, right? MTV, that's like nothing today, really, compared to what's out there. Holy cow. We had that proclamation to the world on the family come out 20 years ago. And I remember when it came out thinking, well, duh, you know, these are obvious things. And now I look back, I'm like, well, wow, that was prophetic, you know, with all the things they're talking about in that proclamation that have changed today, that has become more common and all that. You know, and then there's just so much more wickedness here today. And, like, we don't even let our kids walk to the store. I mean, like they used to back in the day. As a society, we have these epidemics and divorce and obesity and health issues and moral corruption and political corruption and suicides and all this sort of stuff. And yet, we have the highest standard of physical living that we've had in all the world, in the history of the world, and even in the location of the world, right? So we're like, what is going on? Why do we have, like, bigger problems than ever before, when we should be so happy, right? Because we have all of our creature comforts and everything. And so, you know, you think about that. Our world's a mess. This is a huge mess. And people are all disconnected and messed up. But that's not why I'm here to talk to you about, because I don't want to talk about messes. That's not fun. But what I want to talk about is that I no longer live in fear, because I want to live in peace and hope and joy and happiness, you know, because as we move closer to the second coming, of course all these things are going to be happening. But the awesome thing is that as there's more wickedness coming into the world, we also are getting more light and righteousness in the world as well. So if you look around at the world, we have more temples than we know of ever before in the history of the world. We have more members of the church than ever before in the history of the world. I mean, I don't know. Maybe they had bad records back in the day, but I think we probably do just because we have more people in the world than ever before in the history of the world, right? And so I think that you know, and even the internet, which could be very evil, is bringing us so much more light and knowledge. And like, I have the wagon loads of scriptures that we were supposed to have right here on my smartphone, you know? So it's really an exciting time to live because we have so much more light and knowledge now than ever before. Super exciting. So we're in the end of this long struggle from that began at the history of the world. You know, it's been going since the creation, and now the battle is ramping up. It really is the last days. You know, we've been hearing this. It's the last days since Joseph Smith's time, right? But it really is the last days, right? And this struggle is all about power and control. Who has it? So in the history of the world, we've mostly seen all these physical wars occurring. We see all these physical wars between countries and dominions and kingdoms and you know, dictators and all that. But the spiritual battle has been happening all along. And the spiritual battle is the one right now that's getting really intense, really hot. And most of us humans are so busy running around, being distracted, we're not even aware of it. We have no idea. You know, and the battleground is not on the physical land. It's a spiritual battleground. It's all around us. We can't see it. It's the battle between evil and good. It's the battle between light and truth. Or light and darkness. Light, not between light and truth. That doesn't make sense. But we each have our own personal battlegrounds. We each keep falling prey, and sometimes we lose the battles on our own personal battlegrounds. And what the adversary is doing is he's employing this awesome technique called isolation, so that he thinks that we are the only ones in the battle. I don't think I said that right. So he makes us think that we're the only ones in the battle. Sorry, sometimes my words get a little jumbled. So you kind of have to go with what I mean, not what I say, right? I tell my kids that all the time. Poor kids. Like, maybe that's just mom talk. I don't know. Anyway. But what Satan has done is so sneaky. He has placed the main battleground in our own heads by attacking our very identity. Because we don't know who we are and we forget. And so if he can make us question who we really are, then he can make us question why we are here. And he can also make us question whose side we're really on. And the thing is, too, is if we don't know which side we're on, there's no hope. So then the world is a mess. It's horrible. And we don't want that. The other thing he does, too, is he makes us feel like we are all alone. We're the only ones fighting this battle in our heads. And he makes us feel like we're not good enough. That we're failures. That we're messing up our kids. Yeah, who's gotten that one before? So I finally just realized on the messing up your kids one, just kind of accept that you're going to mess up your kids in some way, and then just keep rolling with it. Because you probably are, because you're not perfect, although I have thought that might be a nice thing too if I was perfect as a parent, but no. Okay, this is the plan. This is how it works, okay? So accept that you are going to make mistakes and mess up your kids in some way, and then just say that's okay, because they're going to learn something from it, right? Because that's going to be part of their journey in life. So another thing he does, too, is he makes us feel become, that was really good. He makes us feel depressed or angry or frustrated or annoyed or, you know, you could keep listing all the negative emotions there, you know. And he makes us feel that way because he wants us to live in the state of negative emotions, because when we're in the negative, we can't feel happy. We can't feel joy. And men are that they might have joy, right? So this battle is going on in our brains with our thoughts and our feelings. And guess who he's attacking the most? Us as Latter-day Saints. Because when you are in warfare, who do you attack? You attack the leaders. You attack the people who are leading out, because if you can take out the leader, the other people don't really care so much necessarily to fight in the battle. And so You know, because we have the restored gospel. We know who we are. We know the truth. And yet, he is feeding us lies like crazy, and so many of us are buying into him. We all do. We all buy into these lies. And that's stupid, and I want it to stop, you know? I mean, because we, you know, sometimes we get the lies of, oh, I'm fine, like the all is well in Zion thing, or worse, I'm not good enough. Oh, I can't do anything right. I didn't even shower today, and it's 5 o'clock, you know? And yeah, we all got that one, and so who cares? Some days are like that, but we get those in our heads, like, I am a failure, and we believe it, and that really stinks. So, my, sorry, breathe in. I'm here today because my message is for you that you are enough, because you have divine nature, and that you were born to do this job here in this last day, and you have what it takes. You guys are powerful people, and you're here because you were meant to take a stand for truth and light and righteousness in this spiritual battle. And we need people who are willing to fight this fight and not just sit and cry about it, how messed up the world is, right? From the time of creation, and you go to the garden of Eden. I almost said the wrong garden. If you go to the Garden of Eden, Adam and Eve were told by the adversary to hide. And he keeps telling us that, to hide. He wants us to hide. He wants us to be embarrassed. He wants to be ashamed. He wants us to hide our lights, because when our lights are shining, that's how we fight the darkness. One of my favorite quotes, you may have heard it before, comes from Marianne Williamson, and she said, our deepest fear is not that we're inadequate. Our deepest fear is that we're powerful beyond measure. It is our light, not our darkness, that most frightens us. We ask ourselves, who am I to be brilliant, gorgeous, talented, fabulous? Actually, who are you not to be? You are a child of God. Your playing small does not serve the world. There is nothing enlightened about shrinking so that other people won't feel insecure around you. We are all meant to shine as children do. We were born to make manifest the glory of God that is within us. It's not just in some of us, it's in everyone. And as we let our light shine, we unconsciously give other people permission to do the same. As we are liberated from our own fear, our presence automatically liberates others. And I just love that because, I mean, she's not LDS, but she gets it. She understands that when you stop hiding, and when you let your light shine, you let other people do the same. And if you want to raise a family of heroes that's going to stand for truth and right, then you have to let your light shine too. Gosh darn it, right? Kind of stinks, because sometimes we just want our kids to do everything for us. I know I have spent many, many years hiding behind my kids and trying to encourage them because they are such motivation. I want them to be so much better than me. You know, I want them to be the great. I want them to live their purpose and their mission. And I didn't understand until I started living it. It was more me just telling them, and they couldn't understand either. And so I really needed to stop hiding and start sharing the light that I had within me, that I could share this with you. I started speaking publicly probably 10 years ago, and I can tell you, it was horrible. I'm not saying you guys all have to speak publicly to let your light shine, okay? But for me, I had some people ask me to come speak, and I went and I spoke, and I can tell you my hands were like this, and my face was all red, and I was all, like, public speaking terrified me. And so after I did that, I said, Heavenly Father, forget that. I am not doing that. That is way too hard. And so I didn't. And I said, no, I'm not going to do that. But then, strangely enough, the call, the inspiration kept coming to me that I needed to do this. And so I decided I was going to act and I would do this. And so I do publicly speak now, and I don't totally hate it. And I don't, like, my hand's relatively still. And I don't think I'm too red. And I think I might even make sense sometimes. But, like, for me, this was something I needed to do to show my kids that I could act and do things that scared me, but also where I could share my light with other people. Because I would just as soon, I'm like this total introvert. I could totally just sit in my house and never talk to anyone. Okay, well, not really, because I have 7 kids. But, you know, it took me figuring out that I can come out and talk to other people, and other people are really awesome. I love other people most of the time, you know. So I'm working on that. But this is what I'm saying, is we got to get out there and connect with other people and share our goodness with them, and we get goodness from them back. So it's really awesome that way, how that works. So that's how we fight the battle. We stop hiding and we become aware of those negative voices in our heads, and we shine. We start shining. So in the March 2016 Enzyme, I don't know if you guys saw this article. I didn't, but somebody posted on Facebook, and I saw this quote, and I thought, this is exactly right. I love this quote. Larry Lawrence, I don't even know what the article is, but it's Larry Lawrence in March 2016. He said, accumulating as much light as we can is the key to successfully passing the test of the mortal life. So I'm like, yes, that's what I want. I want to accumulate light. That's what I want. And so, and that's because the adversary wants us to keep the darkness that's in us. He wants us to actually pretend like it's not even there, to hide. He wants us to be embarrassed and ashamed of the darkness that we have that's in us. But instead, all we have to do is focus on accumulating more light. And I love that, how he said that. And that's the way we become like Christ, is by accumulating light. And that's what makes me passionate. It's like, how do we get more light? And how do I help other people get more light? How do we do this all together, you know? So one thing that I love about, that we can do in homeschooling, I guess we can do this wherever, but I love being able to find connections and patterns between unlike things, things that don't initially seem like they go together, right? To me, that just gets so exciting when you make connections like that. You can call it like an epiphany, right? And as we get good at looking for connections and patterns, you can take it to the next level, because then you can make a connection to yourself. And you can apply it to yourself. And so I try to teach that to my kids, because that's how I want them to learn how to think in that kind of a brain. And in fact, I think that really goes well with the symbology stuff yesterday, because symbolism, it's all about making connections and patterns, or seeing the patterns anyway. So problem is, you know, we grew up in the school system that tells us there's one right answer. And so most of us have no idea how to think like that, which is sad. And then we tend to stop thinking once we got the right answer. And that's problematic too, because then we're not getting all those cool ahas and epiphanies. Anyway, so my 4-year-old made a cool epiphany the other day at the dinner table, and she says, "Mom, green beans, refried beans, they're both beans." Now, don't ask why we had refried beans and green beans at the same meal, whatever. But it was kind of weird. But hey, she connected those two things that she thought were very unlike. So she's like, green beans and refried beans. And then she goes on, she's like, what did she say? I have to look at where I wrote it. She's like, they look different, but I like green beans and I don't like refried beans. You know, so on a very basic level, that's kind of what I'm talking about here, where we make a connection and then we apply it to ourselves. And so When you can do that, that's when knowledge becomes power. It's when you apply it to yourself. Okay? So, but the way to do that is you have to make some sort of connection. Okay? And that's why we want to connect to an equal or unalike things first, because sometimes we have to do that before we can connect to ourselves. So, years ago, I came across the pattern of the hero journey. How many guys were here yesterday at the symbolism conference? You guys weren't? You were? Kind of? Okay. Okay. So, then this won't be too repetitive, but I know Katie Hansen introduced the Pilgrim's Course, but I call it the Hero's Journey. And you may have heard that of that before. Have you guys heard of the Hero's Journey before? Mostly, kind of. Okay, but I always love to go over it because I learn new things every time I go over it, okay? And it basically came, this pattern came from a guy named Joseph Campbell in the, 1960s. And he was, an English lit professor in England. And he studied all the world mythologies. And he noticed a pattern, and he wrote it down, and he started comparing. He's like, yeah, this is in all the stories from the history of the world, pretty much. And then if you look today, it's in, all the books and good movies and all that, too. So the basic pattern, I'll just go through it fast because you can find it on the internet or whatever, but think of a familiar story and see if you can match it, or you can just think of The Hobbit. That's a really good hero journey story. So first you start with the ordinary. You start with an ordinary person, unaware that he has great power to make a change. Okay, and so let me see what time it is before I move on. Okay, we have 10 more minutes. We'll have to go fast. That's a really short time. Okay, then there's a call to action. Something changes, and the hero realizes he has to make a choice. And this action usually involves doing something hard that will change him and help others. So he's got to do something. He can choose to do it or not. The third thing is a refusal. The hero feels fear because this is taking him out of his comfort zone. This is going to change him. It's something different. He doesn't feel like he can accomplish it. If he stays in that space, though, he's not going to be a hero, and the hero journey ends. So in The Hobbit, if Bilbo Baggins stayed home to eat his soup, then The Hobbit would be a really boring story, right? That's what he wants to do, but he didn't. So that's number four, the commitment. He chooses to leave his comfort zone and dives into the adventure. Then after that, you have the journey. And on the journey, he's going to find a mentor or some mentors who are going to help him. It's someone who's been there before. He believes in the hero, and he helps the hero find the answers he needs. But along the way, he's also going to hit some roadblocks of temptations. There's a bunch of T words. Tests, traps, and trials is the sort of things he's going to hit. And but he also finds allies. He finds other people he's going to hook up with that are going to help him because these other people have the same sort of call to action. Okay, so in The Hobbit, that's the dwarves. And then they also find other people along the way that help him. Then the sixth one is a major challenge. Near the end of the journey, the hero is going to face his greatest fear, or even death, and he really wants to give up because it looks impossible to complete the mission. Okay, but success is just around the corner because that major challenge is right there. And then if he pushes through, then he gets the reward, and he has to push through if he's the hero, right? And because, oh, talk about a letdown of a movie. He just gives up at the major challenge. Boo. Okay, so at the reward, he pushes through the challenge. He finds success. He's not only changed the world around him, but he's changed within himself. So that's the basic hero journey. Now, I loved noticing this in stories and books and patterns, but what was really powerful for me is when I finally applied it to my own life. Because our own lives are all this pattern of the hero journey, the entire life. We are on a hero journey. And we also have hero journeys every day. We have those little hero journeys that we have to go through as well. You know, some last 2 minutes, some last days, weeks, or years, but the pattern is the same thing. So knowing this, it's really awesome because then you can predict what's going to happen. You know, I know that I need to listen to that call and I need to act, or I got to decide if I'm going to be heroic or if I'm going to be stubborn and prideful and not do it. I have to decide that, you know. Once I'm on the journey, I know that I'm going to hit some walls. I know that I'm going to have some major challenges, but I don't have to cry about it because I know they're coming. And I can think, oh, it's another step on the journey. I'm almost there, you know. And so when it gets hardest, then I can celebrate because I know success is just around the corner, right? And I also, when I know this pattern, I can keep hope and faith that I'm on the right track and that my kids can learn this pattern as well, and they can have the hope and faith too. So President Uchtdorf actually gave a talk about this in General Conference in April 2013, and I was so thrilled. It was called Your Wonderful Journey Home, and he talked about Bilbo Baggins and everything. It's like, that's so awesome, you know. Do you remember that talk? Yeah. And then in 2008, he gave a talk called Happiness in October. That was October. Happiness, Your Heritage. And he talked about how we were all born as creators. So we all get to create. And he says, you know, some of us don't feel like we're very creative, but we are all creators. This is what we were born for. And so what's really awesome is that we are here to create this life full of light. We are here to create this hero journey so it comes out at the end when we are full of light. How cool is that? You know, I love that. We were given our agency for that very purpose, so that we could choose to create that life in our life, that story in our life. We get to choose how much light's going to come into our souls and how much darkness is going to go out. Okay. Sometimes we struggle in life. Yeah. You know, sometimes, especially as homeschool moms, you can get seriously bogged down in daily life and think, hero, I just really want to spend 2 minutes in the bathroom without someone knocking on the door, you know. But see, that is part of the journey. That is part of the journey. And sometimes we have these other struggles that just come into our lives that are really a signal to us that something needs to change. And they are really a call to action. It is a call because if you have something you're struggling with in your life, then it means that something is not in alignment with Christ. There is some darkness in there that wants to leave. But if you want to keep struggling, you're going to keep hanging on to it. If you don't want to keep struggling, you're going to look at that and go, okay, I have this struggle in my life. More light wants to come in. How exciting! I get to have a learning opportunity instead of getting all depressed, right, about it. Because, you know, some people have said to me before, wow, you are so positive. I'm like, oh, you have no idea. I have had to work hard on this because there's this battle in my brain. Like the battle that comes when, you know, I look down, I see my husband's dirty socks on the ground. I got 5 minutes? Okay. I'll tell this story and then I'll wrap it up. Okay, look down, see my husband's socks on the ground, and, you know, what's the first thought? Well, the first thought was, oh, I should pick those up. And then it was, ugh. And then you go on to, really? He's a big boy. Why is he leaving his socks here? That, you know, and they're kind of sweaty and dirty. I don't want to touch those. And then it keeps going and going, and you get all worked up, and you get into victim mode, and you go, why should I have to do everything? You know, this is wrong. I already do everything around here. My husband never helps. In fact, he never cleans up after himself. He is totally insensitive. He doesn't even care what I think about. And this is wrong. And I just don't like him, you know? He's kind of a jerk. Okay, you have to stop yourself and say, whoa, that just came from socks? Seriously, dirty socks? Like, because I put everything away when I'm done with it. I mean, I guess you can relate. This is my kind, loving, righteous, really awesome husband who is such a good father, such a good person. He works hard for our family, and he's so funny and makes us laugh. And I just got all worked up over socks. I mean, that's how the adversary works. It is that simple. That is how he drives a wedge into our marriages and our families by the thoughts in our heads. And most of us think that we are so right that we stick with that thought. And then it gets worse and worse. How do I know this? Because I don't think I'm, and I don't think I'm alone on this either. I have the suspicion it's not just me, okay? But I am working on this. I am working on this to recognize what the adversary is doing in my head, because that is the battleground. This is where we are creating more light in our lives. This is the battle that is most important for us to fight, to show to our children. And we got to teach our children that they have this battle going on in their heads as well. And I'm not just talking about the negative thoughts about our husbands, because we got all the other ones too. When we look in the mirror, what's the thoughts? Oh my gosh, bags under your eyes, look at that. And that pimple right there, really? You're 42 years old, you shouldn't be getting acne anymore, you know? I mean, on and on. We get attacked all the time. And if we don't recognize it, we cannot fill our lives with light. We keep those negative thoughts in our heads and they turn into negative feelings. And then guess what happens? We act stupidly, meanly to our kids. We don't have that power in our lives and we don't get the results we want. But that is the call to action that we have. The call to action are those kind promptings we get in our heads and then what we're going to do with those things, or if we're going to let ourselves go down that road of rationalization and say, yeah, we're right. I mean, come on, my face is ugly. It's got a big red zit today. You know, okay, I don't have that today, but I've thought that before. You know, that's the problem that we have. That's the battle. So, one of my favorite Book of Mormon heroes is Moroni, because I loved how when he wanted to get the people to go fight against the Lamanites, they were a little bit bored. I don't know about bored, but like complacent is the word I was looking for. And so what does he do? He does something dramatic, and he reminds them why they are fighting. He rips his cloak, and he writes, in memory, I'll have to read it because I always mess this up. I tried to memorize it, but, you know. A memory of our God, our religion, our freedom, and our peace, and our wives, and our children. And he says that with passion, and he fired them up, and he says, this is why we are fighting. And the people listened with their hearts, and they responded. And see, and this is what's happening here today in our lives. You know, we are in a battle today, too. And have you taken your stance? Do you know whose side you're fighting on? Because if you don't take a stance, you're on the other side. Because there's no such thing as fence sitting here, you know? Do you remember that we were sent here to be that side? Do you passionately know it? I want to read this quote. Sherry Dew says, we no longer have the luxury of spending our energy on anything that does not lead us and our families to Christ. She said that almost 20 years ago. You know, how many of us are really taking that to heart? So here's the thing, the awesome thing. You don't have to be perfect at this. You just have to be intentional and start. Every day, do a little something to add light to your life and to your family's life. That's all. Okay, so what I want to do for my... Okay, let me back up a little bit. Okay, one thing Heavenly Father told me to do is to gather people who want to raise heroes. That's what I want to do. And so I'm starting a Facebook group called Raising Heroes. And so that's going to be a community if you want to join in that. And in fact, if you guys want to write your email here, I can send you an invite to it. The other thing that I want to do too, because I know we have a problem. We are all super busy moms, and sometimes we really don't get a shower. And we we walk in our houses, and it's such a mess, and no dinner, and you know. But I have learned some things in my life that I would love to share with you of how I can simply add these things to my life to build a protective force field over our families. And it's all by accumulating more light. And so if you are interested as well, I have a 4-week online class that normally, you know, will cost $100, but I want to offer it to you guys for $20 because I don't want to have that wall of money there. And so if you guys want to attend that, just put your email on there and I'll send you a registration link. You don't have to sign up today, but there will be that wall to climb over because you'd have to register. But in this class, I want to share how we can simply but intentionally add light to our lives so we can build this force field around our families. Because that's what it's going to take. We are really in this battle, and we really do need to raise heroes who are going to take that stand for truth and light. So I just want to thank you guys all for being here today, because I know there's lots of choices. And having some people in here so I didn't have to talk to myself again. It's parent-teacher conference, right? Okay, so, and I hope that you guys all know how wonderful and amazing and powerful you are. You are already on that track where you want the best for your children, and you want them to be letting their light shine, and that you guys are powerful too, and that you are letting your light shine as well too. So thank you very much. Appreciate it.